everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing today's show. Our music, our theme music by fine young German composer, Christophan is his name, from Munich, and he was in touch with me over the weekend. He said, Bill, the album is being released. It's been released in Europe, and we have a link at buckmastershow.com to his website, so it's going to be available through his website. So we like this guy very much, and some of the reaction has been very good and very positive to our theme music, so you might want to check out what he's got up on his website. We are at July the 19th, a Tuesday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show. As usual, very full hour. We're going to get going with a new study on cardiac arrest, followed by certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. And Shelley right now is giving me kind of a two thumbs together, meaning the market's kind of flat. But we have lots to talk about with Shelley about a good time to kind of mid-year reevaluation of your entire portfolio. About 12:30, we'll have our candidate interview series. This week, we're going to spotlight the Democratic primary candidates. There are three vying for two seats in District 10. Then our friend Keith Rosenblum, who knows more about Mexico than anybody I know. Keith is going to be with us. He's our Mexico contributor. Well, are we giving up on cardiac arrest patients too soon? A new University of Arizona study suggests that physicians need to give comatose cardiac arrest survivors adequate time before predicting outcomes. This study was led by Dr. Bentley Bobrow, professor at the University of Arizona Colleges of Medicine in Tucson and Phoenix. Dr. Bobrow is the co-director of the Arizona Emergency Medical Research Center in Phoenix, and he joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dr. Bobrow, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Very well. Tell me about what was your thinking going into this study and some of the conclusions that came out of it, please.
Sure. Well, first of all, cardiac arrest is one of the leading causes of death in the country, somewhere around 400,000 sudden cardiac arrests every year outside of the hospital. And most people, unfortunately, don't survive. We've been very, very successful in Arizona getting more of the public to be able and willing to do CPR, and we've dramatically improved survival rates. But this study was specifically about looking at how long it took people to wake up after they got to the hospital. What happens is when you go into cardiac arrest, essentially you have a period where you don't get enough blood flow to the brain, and you can take what we call an anoxic, not getting enough oxygen to the brain hit. And so it takes people a while to recover from that. And this study was specifically looked at patients across the state, multiple different hospitals, looking at how long it took them to wake up. And the reason that we believe this is important is sometimes the doctors and families, not thinking someone is actually going to survive and wake up, can move forward with, end-of-life decisions to take people off life support. And so that was really what we were looking at, how long it took people to wake up after they had an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest.
Well, doctor, this begs the question, what is the typical time that someone would work on a patient to try to bring them around?
Well, it's all different, so it depends on the scenario, it depends on the person's age and how long they were in cardiac arrest. This is specifically about people who the EMS rescuers worked on them and got a pulse back, and they got to the hospital. They had a pulse, but they were still in coma. In other words, they couldn't respond. And once that happens in the hospital, we know that there's a lot of variation between how long in-hospital providers will wait for someone to wake up. Sometimes it'll be a day or two, and sometimes people will wait longer. So there's huge variability in that. And there are some guidelines, but there's still an enormous amount of variability between how providers do that.
Is cardiac arrest the same as what's commonly referred to as a heart attack?
No, it's not. Thank you so much for bringing that up. That's kind of a very, very common misconception. You can think about a heart attack. When people say heart attack, what they refer to and what they should be meaning is you can think of a plumbing problem. Mm. The blood vessels going bringing oxygen to the heart are clogged, and those need to be unclogged. Cardiac arrest is when the heart actually stops. It's more of an electrical problem, and it needs to be restarted, usually with electricity, a defibrillator shock. But the thing that everyone must be able to do in before that shock is delivered is provide some CPR to keep the blood flowing.
When someone then is taken in this comatose state to the hospital, so the person could wake up after 24 to 48 hours or perhaps a doctor even longer?
Well, so that's what we found in this study, which was really interesting, is that about a fifth of the patients woke up after 3 days after their cardiac arrest. And even a handful of patients woke up after 7 days of being in the hospital. And, you know, we really couldn't find any great markers, any patient variables to try to predict exactly who would wake up and who wouldn't. And so the takeaway message, you know, for us and for we hope the other medical providers, is we have to be really careful about how and when we determine, you know, death and determine someone's going to is not going to wake up. The message, of course, for the public is always you have to be able and willing to do CPR, mm-hmm. Effective chest compressions, if you see someone suddenly collapse.
There may be someone listening right now that if you would go over very quickly how, I know it's the radio and it's not TV, but go over very quickly how you can do these chest compressions, because you may just save a life right now, Dr. Bobrow.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. So if you do see someone suddenly collapse and they're unconscious, that means they don't respond to you, you give them a shake and shout and they don't respond, and they're not breathing normally. And remember, if they're gasping, that's not normal breathing. So if they're unconscious, not breathing normally, you should immediately call 911, and you or someone there with you should immediately start doing vigorous, hard, rapid chest compressions. And the way you do that is you put one hand over the other, you lock your elbows, you use the palm of your hand, and just aim for the center of the victim's chest. Don't be too worried about exactly being in the right spot. Just aim for the center of their chest and push hard and fast. You need to push hard. Don't be worried about hurting them. All you can do is help them. And, you know, a common thing that people like is sort of pushing it to the rate of staying alive, if you mm-hmm. remember that old Bee Gees
yes.
song.
Yeah.
You want to go at least 100 compressions a minute. You don't want to go too fast, but at least 100 and somewhere between 120. And if you can do that and push at least 2 inches, you are going to give that person the best opportunity to survive.
And, of course, that should be done right away. But the 911 call, then get into the into those compressions until the appropriate people arrive.
And don't stop for anything. Any pause is bad. So don't stop. And if you get exhausted, make sure someone else takes over immediately. The only two reasons you're going to stop is if that victim wakes up and shakes your hand and gives you a big kiss on the cheek, or... Yeah. The paramedics arrive and they take over. Otherwise, keep going.
You know, getting back to the study in this 24 to 48 hours, you know, you would hate to, for want of a better word, a layman's term, pull the plug on someone. And then, you know, if you hadn't pulled the plug, they come out of this comatose state a week later.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, what do we get, bottom line, and I'm running out of time. So what is your takeaway message from this study?
The takeaway message is that we have to give people ample time to see if they're going to wake up, especially, I should have mentioned this, you know, we're in this era of what we call targeted temperature management, or some people are familiar with the word hypothermia, where we cool the person's body down. That has changed the game with figuring out who's going to wake up and who doesn't. Cooling people, that preserves their brain function. So in the old days, before we had this therapy, most people did not wake up. And it was we knew from experience that prognosticating or making the decision, you were going to be right. But now, in this new era of hypothermia, or also called targeted temperature management, we don't really know who's going to wake up, so we have to give them a chance.
All right. Fascinating stuff. Dr. Bentley Bobrow, thank you very much. You are based up in Phoenix then with the center?
Yes. I work with the Arizona Emergency Medicine Research Center, which is with the University College of Medicine, and we're a statewide center. So we really work with EMS departments, fire departments on pre-hospital emergencies all across the state.
Dr. Bobrow, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
All right. This study was led by Dr. Bentley Bobrow. He is a professor at the UA College of Medicine here in Tucson and in Phoenix, and he is the co-director of the Arizona Emergency Medicine Research Center in Phoenix with branches all over the state. So very good information from Dr. Bobrow, and we have very good information coming up next. We always have good information at about 12:20. Every Tuesday afternoon from Mr. Shelley Fishman. Back right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More, featuring Pella replacement windows. You already know how my design team can enhance any special event. Now imagine enhancing your home with new Pella energy-efficient windows. Are your windows and doors old and worn out? Maybe your windows leak water when it rains. With those problems, why keep giving your money away to the utility company because your windows are inefficient? It's our free Pella Windows and Doors installation giveaway sale. Receive an estimate this month and we will install them for free. That's right, this month only, your purchase of new Pella products will be installed for free. Act today. Call this number and this number only, 520-886-1602, 886-1602. Don't let these savings pass you by. Call this number, 886-1602. That's 886-1602 for the free Pella installation sale by Enhance Openings. EnhanceOpenings.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with businesses they trust. Hi, this is Alan Schultz with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, here to remind you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week. Are you accredited? To apply today, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to start with trust.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an AMA Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, it's easy for us here on the Buckmaster Show because each Tuesday about this time, we consult with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley, how are you?
I'm well today, Bill. How are you doing?
Very good. Fascinating stuff at the top of the show today.
Yeah, that really was. I had no idea that the incidence of
cardiac arrest
was so high. That's pretty serious stuff. I mean, your heart just stops.
Yes, it does. Well, one thing we need to be thinking about mid-year, looking at our portfolios. Not just mid-year, but long-term. Maybe the whole your trust, wills, getting everything in order.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, in July, all of us financial planners and advisors, we start getting from the companies that we do business with, we start getting the mid-year forecasts and the mid-year outlooks. And, of course, those are all coming in now. And if you have a financial advisor, you should call that person and discuss their affiliations, forecasts for the balance of the year.
They're updating what they put out at the beginning of the year.
Right, but a little stuff has happened between January and now around the world, and it's really caused, I think, some companies to rethink. What we know, and this is going to sound surprising to some people, I think, that the Dow as of this morning, and it not much changed by noon, but the Dow is up for the year 8%.
Wow.
The S&P 7.5%.
That is a surprise.
Right. The Nasdaq only 2.8%. So we are not having a bad year by the standards of starting January 1st and going to the day that you're making the calculations. Most of the financial firms I deal with, including LPL, my broker-dealer, are now talking about increases in the markets, in the equity markets for the year, in what they call the single digits. But we're there already. So that means everybody goes home for the rest of the year and does nothing. Or it stays flat. That's not very likely. Or we get a lot of volatility leading us to where we are today. Now, any of those possibilities, with the exception, of course, people going home for the rest of the year, is possible. And as you know, at the beginning of the year, my forecast, was for mid-single digits, somewhere in the 3 to 6% for the Dow. We're already above that. And so I'm going to stick with that, Bill. I think that given all of the things that could happen between now and the end of the year, I'm thinking we're right about where we belong for the year. We'll see where corporate profits take us. The corporate profits have been a little on the light side. Manufacturing has backed off a little, though we have seen an increase in inventories. The dollar remains very high vis-a-vis the euro and now, of course, vis-a-vis the pound. That hurts our exports. And as you know, I think there have been some fundamental changes economically in that regard. And so I'm sticking with, 6-7% on the Dow and the S&P. When it comes to GDP growth, I had said, you know, in the 2 to 2.5% range. That turns out to be right smack dab where LPL has put it now for their outlook for the balance of the year. That's good growth. It's not great growth, but it's better than the rest of the world, except for China. And China, interestingly, revised their forecast up to somewhere in the 6.8% range. Now, that's really good growth for any economy other than China. And so if they can maintain that kind of growth, that's going to help them continue with their process of changing their economy from one of exports to one of consumerism, which is critical for their long-term planning.
Would you change the mix at all right now based on the British leaving the European Union? You would change the mix?
Yeah, I'd lighten up on European firms or firms that depend upon European financial support, and just lighten up on the finance sector in general, especially the British finance sector. As far as real estate is concerned, I would lighten up a little bit on British real estate, simply because what we're going to be seeing, I think, if they go ahead with this Brexit as we think they will, what we're going to be seeing is some vacancies in the office market in London. Companies who do business with the European community are going to find it disadvantageous to have their central core headquarters in London, but they're going to need to maintain some presence in London. And so what will happen is, you know, if you've got 50, 60 people in a location in London, maybe you'll reduce that to 15 or 20, mm-hmm. and now you're going to relocate some people elsewhere. The question is where?
Yeah, where
is
that going
to be? If you're an English-speaking company, mm-hmm. you need to keep that in mind. So I think a very logical alternative would be Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
The Irish are notoriously good at getting along with everybody in Europe. and, of course, they're members of the EU and they use the euro. But many companies are going to want to be closer to the center of things. And so you'll see, I think, some real movement in Brussels and perhaps in Amsterdam as well.
When you're looking at your portfolio, also think about your trust. If you have a trust, you might want to get one. Or if you don't have one,
so
you might want to.
So when you're talking to a financial advisor, if that mm-hmm. person is a planner, not just a stockbroker,
right.
but a planner, the most unpleasant discussion that person will initiate with you is the discussion that says, do you have a will? Do you have a trust? Have you updated it recently? And are you and your spouse, assuming that you have a spouse or a significant other, in sync about what's going to happen if something were to happen to either of you? One of the things we know for absolute certainty in the financial world, and we don't know anything for absolute certainty in the financial world, is something is going to kill us.
That's
true. At some point, we're going to die.
Yes.
It's just going to happen. And if we don't have a will, we don't have a trust, then the executor of our estate gets to be the state of Arizona.
Mm.
Now, for some people, that's okay. For most people, it's not. Now, you can fix some of those problems by how you title your assets. In other words, if you actually do, you know, joint tenants with survivorship and that kind of thing. But people get smug because they think, okay, fine, I've got all our real big assets in joint tenant with my spouse. Everything's great. What happens if there's a plane crash and you both die at the same time?
Or an automobile accident
right.
while traveling or even here in town.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one of the certainties of life, of course.
Absolutely.
That you're going to die.
The other thing that people...
And taxes.
Yep.
I guess, for some people,
the other thing
maybe.
That people don't think about
yeah.
is not what happens when they die, mm-hmm. but what happens if they don't die and all of a sudden can't make decisions.
Yeah.
And so they go online and they get a will.
Uh-huh.
But what they forget about is the durable power of attorney that they also need to help them appoint somebody to make financial decisions in case, for whatever reason, they become incapacitated and can't make those decisions on their own. And along with that document, most people also try to prepare a health care power of attorney. So somebody is in charge of their health care. Now, normally it's a spouse. But if the spouse can't do it for whatever reason, then you have a much more difficult problem of assigning somebody who is not in your most immediate family. You say, well, I'll have one of my kids do it. Well, not everybody has kids, but even though that's a terrible burden to put on children.
Yes,
so
it is.
Even adult children. And it can cause a lot of dissent within a family. So these discussions, as unpleasant as they may be, are very important to have with either an estate attorney, if you want to do it that way, or certainly with your financial planner, who can then kind of lead you in the right direction.
All right, Shelley Fishman, good information as usual. Shelley, I hope you have a great week, and we can find out more about you by directing folks to buckmastershow.com.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
And use the hyperlink and find me.
Thanks, Shelley.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson's spectacular thunderstorms are here. With all that rain and showy lightning comes a little craziness. Tohono O'Chul Park's Monsoon Madness Plant Sale is July 29th and July 30th. Featuring the largest contingent of Arizona's unique plant growers, afford a rare opportunity to access the area's foremost plant experts. Come see us at 733 North Paseo del Norte, Friday, July 29th from 3 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, July 30th from 8 to 1 p.m. Visit our website at tohonoochulpark.org.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday as we talk about health and wellness with the nutrition reporter, Jack Chalom. Plus, it's monsoon madness time at Tucson's Tohono O'Toole Park. Buckmaster is live noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with live streaming, podcasts, and show archive at buckmastershow.com. On the Buckmaster Show, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream our show. That means wherever you are in the world, if you're by a computer, you can stream us at KVOI.com or on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. This portion of our program presented by Green Things. That's my nursery of choice. Whenever I need anything green, I go over to 3384 East River Road. Jan and Jack, the owners over there, have expanded now to 13 acres. They do this farmer's market now and artisan's market Thursday morning at 8 at Green Things, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and then Saturday and Sunday, free workshops on gardening, 10 a.m. Saturday and Sunday at Green Things. More on that at greenthingsaz.com. Well, we continue our effort to meet as many of the candidates in contested elections as possible, and this week we'll be focusing on the three Democrats who are in a three-way race for two seats. It's District 10. State Representative Bruce Wheeler's retirement has drawn three Democrats into the race for the two seats. State Representative Stephanie Mock, who is with us today, is seeking another two-year term. Stephanie, good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Your competition is Courtney Froggy, who has managed campaigns and worked and served on the board of Planned Parenthood. She's making her first run for office, as is UA law professor Kirsten Engel, who has worked as an attorney for the EPA, Sierra Club, and the Massachusetts Attorney General's Office. Now, the Republican in the race is Todd Clodfelter. He had run has run twice, unsuccessfully in 2012 and 2014. So he will face off in the fall against the winner of the Democratic primary. So we've got all that straight. Representative Mock, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Tell me about what's at the top of your agenda for this run.
So I've been in the legislature now for 4 years. I sat on appropriations the entire time. And one of the things I notice is one of the biggest issues is, you know, we do three things in the state as reflected in our budget. We educate, we medicate, and we incarcerate. That third one, incarceration.
We do a lot of that.
Yes, we do. And those numbers have increased while the other two have gone down. I think that there are more cost-effective ways to deal with people with mental illness, with substance abuse, and to really make sure that we're reunifying families. It also affects the DCS program, it affects state revenues, the whole thing. So if we could take more people, treat them for their actual issues instead of imprisoning them, then we can use that money, put it back into education and other programs that we know are effective at preventing the failures, essentially, that we see in community.
Almost like a dumping ground or warehousing these people.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. And frankly, we're not even the way that we're imprisoning people in private prisons with very little adequate basic health care and other things.
It's a huge industry.
It's a really big problem.
I have heard we house all of the state of Hawaii's prisoners.
We do.
In the state of Arizona. It's kind of a money-making deal, I guess, for Arizona.
And for those people who don't know, we have in the contract saying that we have to maintain, every contract is different, but at least 90% occupancy, which means
what?
We will pay for those beds whether they're occupied or not. That's incentivizing people to put people in those beds instead of treating them, setting them back in the community, reunifying them with families, and making sure that they can be sustainable for themselves and their families.
Was this budget was it a little better this time around than previous budgets in at least consulting some Democrats about the budget, or was this pretty much just a
a Republican thing.
This year has been one of the worst that I've seen and that I've heard of other people seeing as far as the collaboration between Democrats and Republicans. The hyper-partisanship has reached an all-time high. We were not consulted on any part of the budget. We didn't know when it was coming. In fact, it's not even just Democrats. It's moderates within the Republican Party that now are now being shut out of the process.
So they don't have a seat at the table.
No. No. I mean, it's gotten to a point where this legislature, or the ones that we've seen the last couple of years that we've seen, the GOP has gone off the rails in terms of effective, responsive governance. And just a purely unbiased way. I'm not even talking as a Democrat. I'm talking as a constituent who wants to see people work together. I'm okay with disagreeing with my opponents as long as they and I come to our arguments in a thoughtful manner by having debate that is transparent, that everyone can see. As an example, Justin Olson, the chairman of the Appropriations Committee, didn't even have open meetings for the budget process so that people could have their say in how they felt. And instead of doing it in a transparent way at the Capitol, he did what he called a tour across the mm-hmm. state to make up for that decision. It wasn't televised. It wasn't covered all the time by media. And that's a travesty for our state.
Why not just have transparent budget processing?
I don't know. That's what I've been arguing for. That's what I said in committee. That's what I've said to my constituents. If I were in charge, that's exactly what I'd do.
Then we come to what some have called the huge gorilla in the room, education.
Oh, absolutely.
And Prop 123 was highly controversial. It's still controversial about the way some districts are allocating the money. Were you in favor of 123?
This 123 was the most difficult decision I ever made. I had to consult with a lot of people in my district to see where they stood and why they thought the way they did. Ultimately, it was a poor decision on it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. We lost because it won, and we would have lost if it had failed. But now we have it. And now we deal with the fact that we have a little bit of money now to maintain us until we get to step two. And until I see a step two, not just to maintain the education system, but to advance it.
Yeah, a lot of people are waiting for the step two from the governor.
Absolutely. Until we see that, it's not going to solve our problems.
One of our fine listeners, Jim, has called. I believe it's Jim Kelly. Hey, Jim.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the hyper-partisanship. I really don't see it as necessarily Republicans and Democrats, because as you said, even so-called moderate Republicans are being shut out of the process. But I will tell you this. This has been happening state by state by state and organization by organization by organization for a long time, particularly over the last 7.5 years, because the people with that attitude of let's sit down, talk it out, hash it out, and find a solution, those men have died. Those men and women, very few of them are left. And they weren't, the new politicians, Republican and Democrat, have not been trained to sit down, hash things out, and make compromise and come to the greatest good for the greatest number of people. And so it's everybody's training. But in our case, we're dealing with very siloed interests in Maricopa County, which is 5 times larger than Pima County in population. And our interests, often siloed themselves, don't get to the table. So that's just my thoughts on this.
Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Well, I do think that there are some people who are very interested in sitting down and talking. I am one of them. I think that we've had a lot of people who continue to push for that. The reason why I mentioned the GOP in our state in particular is because they have been in charge for 40 years, and they are responsible for making the system better because they have the votes to do it. And they have continued to operate the same way and to make it worse, in my opinion. And so I do agree that we need to make sure everyone is committed to that. But right now, we need to hold our own accountable as well as each other.
Stephanie, where can the listener find out more about what your campaign is about? On your website?
Absolutely. They can go to stephaniemach.com. My last name is M-A-C-H, like the speed. And I answer everything personally. If you want to leave a message, I'd really love to hear from you.
And it's not necessarily the traditional first name spelling.
It isn't.
Stephanie.
But I was smart enough to buy the alternate spelling
then
transfer it back into my other.
So it gets you there.
Yeah. So Stephanie, S-T-E-F-A-N-I-E.
Representative Mach, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, Keith Rosenblum talking about Mexico. 12:45 now on the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Enhance Openings, Windows, Doors, and More, featuring Pella replacement windows. You already know how my design team can enhance any special event. Now imagine enhancing your home with new Pella energy-efficient windows. Are your windows and doors old and worn out? Maybe your windows leak water when it rains. With those problems, why keep giving your money away to the utility company because your windows are inefficient? It's our free Pella Windows and Doors installation giveaway sale. Receive an estimate this month and we will install them for free. That's right, this month only, your purchase of new Pella products will be installed for free. Act today. Call this number and this number only, 520-886-1602. 886-1602. Don't let these savings pass you by. Call this number, 886-1602. That's 886-1602. For the free Pella installation sale by Enhance Openings. EnhanceOpenings.com.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Arts, hiking, birding, exploring the Mogollon Ghost Town, Silver City's historic downtown. Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico makes a great, cool weekend getaway this summer. Just 3 hours east of Tucson to the mile-high city of Silver City, and there are plenty of great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge. Find the full listing of the many places to stay and many things to do by visiting their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Keith Rosenblum. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico, longtime border reporter and observer of Mexican life. Keith is one of 24 contributors on a regular basis to the Mexico Show, to the Buckmaster Show. Keith, how are you? Hello,
Bill. Hello, Bill. I'm observing Mexican life today.
Where are you, my friend?
I'm observing it today on the streets of Guadalajara, Bill.
Oh, good for you. Not been to Guadalajara, but I understand, speaking of mile-high elevation, it has kind of a spring-like temperature all year round.
Bill, if I can't be in Silver City today,
yes,
then there's nowhere I'd rather be than Guadalajara.
Okay, good. Well, that's good. Keith, let me ask
you. Actually is chilly.
Is it?
I'm sorry.
Is it really? Like what, 50?
It is. I've come from Mexico City, where it was in the low 60s with rain, and I now understand what the Aztecs had in mind when they settled. They were looking to not be in Tucson.
There you go. Nature's air conditioning in Guadalajara and Mexico City, for that matter. Of course, the elevation in Mexico City, I believe, is about 7,000 feet. Keith, does anyone realistically think that Mexico is going to pony up and pay for the United States to build a wall along the border?
You know, it's such a weird question. The question's totally appropriate, yeah. But it's such a weird, it goes beyond anybody's purview. I mean, it's like I think President Peña Nieto, if he was the most popular president in the history of Mexico, would not assent to it anyway. So I think at some point, it's going to either become a metaphor, a figurative thing, and not a real. They'll come up with some kind of compromise language, because nobody on the U.S. side and nobody in Mexico is going to allow for the Great Wall of China, the mini version of it. So, I mean, I think that it actually may end up being discussed should there be a Trump victory. But for right now, it's just not. It's more of the fodder of comedians than anything else.
Are folks taking this the Trump candidacy quite seriously in Mexico?
It gets taken seriously because Mexico and Latin America has a long history of populists and of strongmen and of people whose speeches are, on one hand, way out of touch with the masses, but on the other hand, there's something about a strong guy that people are attracted to, and Mexico has had that before, and so has, go a little bit south, so is Honduras, Guatemala, Salvador. So the idea that somebody like Donald Trump would rise and win over a public isn't foreign. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it's a more foreign concept to Americans than it is to people in Latin America. They take it very seriously, and strangely enough, there's a certain part of this population that admires it, that doesn't believe in balance of powers or institutions that check one another. They just like the idea of a strong guy that gets in and and becomes the symbol of strength, and the, you know, the judiciary and the legislation. Well, those are the legislation. They're kind of necessary evils, but we sure like having this one strong guy who's going to restore our greatness. That's a pledge that a lot of people in Latin America have heard lots of times.
Yeah, and Mr. Trump talking about being the law and order candidate, and also being very strong on terrorism, going after the terrorists. You know, that brings up a point about Mexico, and we've heard of some of these when they're, I guess you would call them, terrorist incidents, but they're usually, aren't they usually associated with drugs and the cartels? Kind of different.
Always associated with that. There's, yeah. Always, let me just tell you that I've often wanted to say this. I'm often, because you and I have a history of talking about, should I go to Mexico? It's dangerous.
Yes.
Or what are the perceptions? I think it'd be, actually, I haven't planned this, but it'll be fun to talk, kind of stream of consciousness on this. Mm-hmm. And that is, I'm in a place today where there are no drills in public or private schools for people that might invade or take over the school. I'm in a place where there have been no attacks on police officers with machine guns or pistols. There have been no one turning, no one going into nightclubs, straight or gay, and shooting them up. We talk about Mexican violence as if somehow that's something that we need to be alarmed about on any trip, and yet I'm talking to you from a place where, yeah, there's violence, but it's pretty much if you want it. It's pretty much if you're in the business, and yes, the answer to your question is almost across the board, anything that's happening in this country that's violent today is about control for either illegal drugs, immigrants, and certain power struggles. But insofar as that affecting anybody that you've ever come into contact with, the answer is a no, it hasn't. And there's a certain, when I travel, and I don't even think about it, because sometimes it's the things that you're not thinking about that actually provide you the greatest serenity. I think this is not a place where there are any of these odd or kind of spontaneous acts of violence.
So the type of terrorism that we associate in the United States is almost unheard of in Mexico.
It is unheard of in Mexico. And one of the reasons, and this is actually an important one, I'm talking to you from a residential neighborhood right now. One of it is because the Mexicans generally know who lives next door to them. I don't know if you know you're the neighbors on your block. On my block, I know one or two. And in Mexico, they don't have nearly the mobility that we do. And so generally with the first last name and then the second last name, people know who their neighbors are and they know who their neighbors' kids are. And anybody who's crazy, they kind of know who they are, so that it's very rare for there to be an incident where somebody just appeared out of the blue as a, you know, came from somewhere else and committed a violent act. Let's think Jared Loughner or something like that in Tucson. People know, and so if there are the inklings or the signs of something, this is a place where people generally know and they're on guard. Not that it happens much anyway, but if something's going to, people are there. They don't need to be told, like President Bush told us and then others told us, you know, be aware of those stupid tapes you hear all the time at the airports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be aware of your surroundings, all this nonsense stuff. Those are things that are intuitive, or they're an intrinsic part of Mexican life. People are already aware of it. They don't have to have someone say, look out for things that are freaky. They're already doing it, and that's part of their culture.
What's their TSA equivalent in Mexico when you're boarding a plane in Mexico to come into the United States? Are there stringent security precautions, Keith?
Well, there are, because that's now you're in the area of international standards. That in Mexico would be the DGA, I think, the Dirección General de Aviación. And that's something that all airports play by those same rules. They have to.
Yes.
So the machines I go through and everything else. But if you're talking about the citizenry would be quite inclined to report a crazy person in their neighborhood, something odd going on outside of an airport. It doesn't happen. But if it did happen, what I'm talking about is the likelihood would be that it would be detected right away by people that would say, hey, what's up with this? And they don't have, and I bring that up because there are really no groups, there's no indigenous groups in this country that come close to the issues that we have in the States with separatist movements or with, you know, spying on mosques or on other religious places where there might be something going on. it just doesn't exist yet. Maybe Mexico will have its turn, but right now there's nothing like that.
Huge contrast worth talking about. I appreciate it. Keith Rosenblum on the live line from Guadalajara, Mexico. Thank you, Keith.
My pleasure.
All right. Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure having him on our program. This afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw hosts that program. He is ably assisted by Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. Wake Up Tucson. They do 2 hours mornings, 6 to 8, Daily Double, Christy Simone, 8 to 9, me, Bill Buckmaster. And my show comes along at 12:04. Tomorrow we'll be with you on Wednesday edition. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.